This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. A special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Mr. Kurt Rogers, unfortunately, is a little bit under the weather. But again, Affordable Interest Mortgage is your one-stop shop for all of your mortgage needs. Their number is 720-895-0500, and they can help you out. But we do have Jason Foster in studio, and Jason's an attorney in town. And you can check out his website at jasonfosterlaw.com. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the subject of bankruptcy today. And everybody right now just kind of got a chill. Oh, I hate that word. Whatever. But hopefully we're going to explain this to you and let you know that, you know, I think everybody probably hates the thought of ever having to be in a position to file bankruptcy. But sometimes it is a way to get your life back and to get a fresh start. And that's what it's built and all about, is getting that fresh start. So, first of all, Jason, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Sure.
So, before we get into all this, first time on the show, tell us a little bit of your background, how you got into all this, and what made you choose these fields. And you do kind of some estate planning, which we can talk about before we get out here today, and the bankruptcy side of things. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been practicing law for well over 12 years. And the majority of that in Minnesota. Have my own law practice there, and came to Colorado a couple years ago. While I was waiting for my law license, I actually did a little bit in the financial service industry. And then once I got that law license, I went back out into the areas that I practiced for a number of years in Minnesota. Again, bankruptcy, estate planning, some tax work, some real estate related matters. I'll handle all of those. Handled and filed hundreds of cases, so it's certainly an area. Those areas are areas that I wanted to practice again out here.
Right. Now, because this is a federal thing with bankruptcy, are there laws that differ from Minnesota to Colorado? Are there a few things that are a little bit different?
Yeah. So bankruptcy is a federal court process, and it's a process governed by federal laws. But there are different state exemptions that apply depending on the state that you're in.
Okay.
So you'll have Colorado property exemptions that will govern protecting property here while you're in the federal court process of bankruptcy. And Minnesota has their own state property exemptions as well, as do all the states. And some states allow you to pick and choose what exemptions you want in terms of protecting your assets. Colorado says you got to use the Colorado state exemptions to protect property.
Okay, you know, there's so many myths out there. I mean, I've met people before, and talking to them and knowing some folks that have been through bankruptcy and all the different things, and talking with some attorneys, some people feel like if they ever do that, their life is over. They can never buy a car again. They can never buy a house again. There's so many myths out there that just aren't true.
Absolutely, a lot of misconceptions, and I think one of the big ones is people tend to think maybe that people, you know, that go to see a bankruptcy attorney or file bankruptcy are, you know, they've mishandled their finances, or they're bad apples, mm-hmm. or they, you know, just bad people.
Taking advantage of the system.
Right,
whatever.
Gaming the system. And I find that the vast majority of people that come into my office, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They're good people. They've, you know, unfortunate, you know, been dealt a bad hand. Job loss, medical bills that have spiraled out of control, you know, and sometimes just, you know, the cost of living mm-hmm. is expensive. Having children, caring for an elderly parent, whatever it might be, and things spiral out of control, and they're just looking for some sort of relief, some sort of helping hand, something to get back on their feet. So, you know, good people, just unfortunate circumstances.
Right. The main probably too, and there are several different types of bankruptcy, and we can kind of cap each one of those to give people an idea. But the main ones probably you deal with on a day-to-day basis are a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 13. Is that correct?
That is correct. They're There are other chapters out there, 11s and 12s, but for the consumer, the general, you know, regular person, Chapter 7 and 13 are going to be the best options for debt relief.
Right. And the Chapter 13 basically is a more of a repayment plan where you take the debt and you guys figure all the values of different things and you get on a several-year plan and you pay some back. And then Chapter 7 is where you just totally wipe it out, correct?
That is correct. Chapter 7 is, you know, you discharge your dischargeable debts, and typically it's kind of an upfront process, about 90 days from the time of filing. And I say dischargeable debts because there are different types of debts, and we can get into those later. Chapter 13, typically a payment plan. I think a big misconception of a Chapter 13 is that when you enter it, you ought to pay everything back. That is rarely the case. Vast majority of people are paying usually a small percentage of what is owed. And, you know, they may be paying back mortgage arrears or taxes in full, but general unsecured creditors may be a small percentage overall, and then they still get their discharge for that.
Right. So what does this initial consultation look like? Someone hears today and they think, wow, I've been thinking about this for several years, and that's probably the fault that you see the most is, man, they should have came a year or two ago, you know, because they end up going through some savings, 401k, and there's a lot of things that are protected.
That is correct. Timing with bankruptcy filing is huge. You know, I'll have clients, unfortunately, that will come in so late in the process that they've drained retirement savings. They've actually waited until after a sheriff's sale has taken place on their property, where if they would have come in before that, maybe we could have saved their house. But you're correct in saying that there are assets that are protected under both federal law and state law. And in Colorado, there's homestead equity that can be protected. There's equity in a vehicle that can be protected. Under federal law, there are essentially your retirement that you've built up maybe your entire life can be protected. You don't have to drain that entire retirement account. You could protect that and still get a discharge for your debts. So timing is important in this process.
Absolutely. Again, Jason Foster is our guest. You can check out his website at jasonfosterlaw.com. And I assume you offer a free consultation. I didn't get a chance to ask you that before the show, but a free consultation?
I do, okay. And I'm happy to go through assets, income, debts, to see if it even makes sense, because a lot of people come to my office and it might not make sense.
Right.
But it's worth knowing and having that knowledge that at least I went to check to see if that was a viable option for me.
And so when you're talking to someone and then you advise whether to do the Chapter 7 or Chapter 13, what are some of those, you know, just if we can't go through everything, but what are a few of the deciding facts to where you may say, you know, hey, Chapter 13 is best for you?
There's a number of factors. I think the first factor is what types of debts are we dealing with? Mm-hmm. If we're just dealing with general unsecured creditors, credit cards, lines of credit with banks, maybe even deficiency judgments from, you know, a legal action that has already taken place. You know, we look at those types of debts because if you want to keep your house, if you want to keep a car and you've fallen behind on those payments, Chapter 13 might be the best option because that allows you to restructure those debts and you're able to pay those off and keep those assets. Tax debt is another one. If you have a significant amount of tax liabilities and I cannot discharge those in a Chapter 7, we can look at a Chapter 13, pay those off, and again, maybe pay very little to the unsecured creditors and still get a discharge for them. So we'll look at debts. Another big factor is income. If you make too much money, you're likely not going to qualify for a Chapter 7. The 2005 laws changed. Mm-hmm. What they brought into play was called a means test, and it's a self-describing process. If you have the means to pay something back to your creditors, it doesn't have to be everything, just something back, then you're likely going to be pushed into the Chapter 13 process from just what the formula and the laws allow you to do and what type of relief might be available. Mm-hmm. So income's important, debts are important. And then assets as well. As I mentioned, there are property protections. when you file for bankruptcy relief. So there are limits in terms of the assets that you can have without running into a liquidation process. If you are above the levels of these exemptions that are available and you want to keep that property, sometimes it makes sense to file a 13 where you can keep that property, pay something back to your creditors, and then not lose anything like you might in a Chapter 7. So we really look at everything, and that, you know, that hour consultation or so when we initially meet, sometimes longer, you start to understand that process and what chapters might be available.
Right. So someone that may be listening, and boy, they're getting notices, their car is about to get repossessed, or their house may be going in foreclosure, need to call sooner than later.
Absolutely. And when you call, and I guess when you, if you decide to file after we call, after we review that process, we draft everything. Once you file, there's something that goes into place called an automatic stay protection. So whatever legal processes are going forward, whether it's a foreclosure, whether it's a repossession, you know, it could be a garnishment or a levy of a bank account, whatever legal process these creditors are moving towards to access your assets to try to get those, they stop immediately if you file. So if you wait and they've already garnished you for weeks, if they've, you know, levied your bank account and cleared it out, it's going to be very difficult to get that money back, if not yep. impossible. Same with the house, same with the car.
Sure. 303-488-3331 is the number for that free consultation, 303-488-3331. And listen, don't worry about, you know, the stigma that seems to come with the word bankruptcy. Again, no one wants to do this, but I'm telling you, I've known many, many people that have been through this process, and truly, Jason, I've seen after their bankruptcy is dismissed, they're getting car off, because people think, I'll never buy a car again, I'll never be able to finance a house again. That's not true. I mean, Kurt Rogers, that sponsors this show on today, after a couple of years of a bankrupt, I mean, you know.
A lot of misconceptions yeah. out there. It is part of the deal, and I'll put that out there, that when you file, it may take you a
sure.
little while to recover. You know, but we're not talking about years and years and years. You'll be able to eventually get a credit card again. You'll be eventually able to refinance, and if Kurt was here, he'd probably yep. State that as well. You'll be able to go out and get a car loan again. There is a credit rebuilding process that mm-hmm. takes place, no question about it. But, you know, that is part of that fresh start. That
right.
is part of getting, you know, clearing out the bad, starting new, learn some lessons, you know, and moving forward. So, but a lot of misconceptions about, you know, never being able to get financing again or refinance or anything like
sure.
that.
Sure. And a great way to do it, and just have a friend of mine that kind of helps people after bankruptcy, but secured cards. You know, you can go to a bank, give them $1,000, they give you a Visa, make those payments on time. I know a guy that did that right after his bankruptcy. He went and did three accounts, put $1,000 in each. Now he's got $15,000 credit lines on those things 3 or 4 years later.
And you can actually ask the bank, are you going to be reporting
yep.
this to the credit bureaus so I can get credit for these payments? And that is one great way to rebuild credit. Another one that you don't even think about is on the secured debts, mortgages and car loans that you decide to keep, just make sure that you're current and on time with those payments after the bankruptcy. Eventually,
yep.
that credit history will start building very quickly again. And in a year or two, you're gonna be in pretty good shape.
Sure. If you've got any questions, we'll open up the phone lines, 303-477-5600. Again, in this case, we can't give specific legal advice over the phone, but we'll try to answer your questions the best we can. Jason Foster is our guest, jasonfosterlaw.com. And his number for that free consultation, 303-488-3331, 303-488-3331. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. We'll be right back.
What could you do with an extra $500, $1,000, or even $1,500 per month? How would that change things for you? Would you buy a new car, pay off bills, or just feel a bit more secure about your retirement? What if I told you there's a way to make your dreams a reality? I'm talking about trading and investing in the market. Now, before you say, oh, that's not for me, just hear me out. I want to invite you to a half-day trading course so you can check this out. I promise you, you'll go away smarter than when you came in. We here at Online Trading Academy sponsor this, and we'll even send you home with a free home study video guide. Your money's doing nothing for you in a CD or mutual fund. Learn how to profit when the market's up or down. Call us now while seats are still available at 303-325-2776. Use offer code RADIO50. 303-325-2776. That's 303-325-2776.
Worried about losing the tax deduction of your mortgage interest? Now, more than ever, it's important to stop paying more interest than you should. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. If you have a second mortgage, those rates are going to continue to go up and up and up. Let us show you how to take advantage of higher conforming loan limits of $529,000 at lower fixed rates. Credit card rates will also continue to go up. Pay off those high rate cards now and save thousands in interest. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Call now to save over $100,000 in interest and own your home faster, all without changing one penny of your current spending habits. It's only your money. Take AIM. Paying mortgage insurance is like adding over 1% to your current rate. Stop paying it. Refinance or purchase your next home with only 3% down and no mortgage insurance. Call 720-895-0500. Let AIM save you thousands like we've been doing since 2001. 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. Take AIM and take control of your money. NMLS 298-191. Regulated by DOR. Equal credit lender.
At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And because we know that your pet will have many different needs throughout its life, we offer complete pet care services every day, all at one location. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care, surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or toys, we are here for your pet 7 days a week. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we know that you want the very best for your pet, which is why you can count on us to provide top-notch care in everything we do. We are certified with the highest rankings by the American Animal Hospital Association and hold a gold star rating with the Better Business Bureau. You and your pet can visit us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more about us by visiting our website at lonetreevet.com or just give us a call at 303-708-8050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters, once again brought to you by our good friends at Affordable Interest Mortgage. Normally, Kurt Rogers is with us, the owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage, but Kurt was a little under the weather today, so sorry he couldn't be with us. But Jason Foster is our guest, and Jason is an attorney in town, handles some estate planning, which we will try to talk about a little bit before we get out of here today, and hopefully we can get Jason back. But our topic today is bankruptcy, and as I mentioned at the very first of the show today, that word can make a lot of people cringe. And, you know, Jason, I think a lot of times people feel like, man, I just want to be honorable, pay all my debts. And again, that's a valid thought. It's all something we all want to do. But sometimes, like you mentioned, man, a job loss, medical bills can rack up. We're trying to help kids and, like you say, other people. So all of a sudden, boy, credit cards looking. If you look at what, you know, a $3,000 or $4,000 credit bill, and you're paying the minimums, man. So what are some of the signs? That's what I'm trying to get to. What are some of the signs of people saying, okay, should I be thinking about this? If you're doing this or you're experiencing this with your finances, you should give me a call is what you're thinking.
Sure. I think just a basic review of your budget and what's coming in for income and what's going out for expenses goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you're paying your mortgage, you're paying your car loan, you're putting food on the table, you're putting gas in the car, and then you have these extra credit card payments, and you're finding out that you're $1,000 short in terms of making these payments. And I've seen it. I've seen more.
Sure.
And you know, sometimes that's coupled with a job loss. You know, you got a couple, husband and wife, they become over-leveraged a little bit, which can easily happen,
yeah.
How expensive it is to raise children or just to live. And, you know, you look at that budget and all of a sudden they come in and say, hey, we can't survive on, you know, my full-time job and now my husband's part-time job because he was let go. What are we going to do? And so, you know, some of that, we just sit down and take a look at that budget and say, you know, you just don't have enough money coming in to pay these credit cards and pay the things, of course, that you need to pay.
Sure.
Like, you know, don't, just because a credit card company is calling you nonstop and asking you for money, don't say, okay, I won't pay my mortgage this month. I just want to get them off my back. So let me pay that credit card this month, and I'll try to catch up with my mortgage lender later.
Right.
That's a recipe for disaster, and you got to remember to pay the important things first, and then, you know, the credit cards, I'm not saying they're not important, mm-hmm. but you got to have a house to live, you got to have a car to get to work, you know, you got to go to the grocery store, you know, you got to pay your daycare provider. These are important things that you got to pay, and then, you know, you review that budget with someone like me, and we can take a look and see if it's a viable option to file.
Right, and like you said at the beginning of the show, most people that come into your office, you know, they hadn't been out Best Buy and buying 100 big screens or taking lavish vacations and all that. It's just life hit them, you know, with some unfair deals. And hey, probably a few of us have made unwise purchases in our past, but I mean, for the most part, job loss, medical issues, those are probably two of the biggest things right there.
Two of the biggest things, I would say, divorce.
Yeah.
You know, if unfortunately a couple is decided to go separate ways, they have a lot of joint debt together. That can be something where all of a sudden, you know, if one spouse has all the debt in their name and the other spouse doesn't, you know, depending on what that divorce decree says as well, you know, bankruptcy might be an alternative, at least to kind of getting a clean slate, allowing that couple to move forward in separate ways. I would say a couple other things too, you know, a failed business, you know, and I think that it kind of goes back to that honest, that trustworthy debtor that's out there that's trying to do the best they can. They decide, hey, I know a lot about this area. I'm going to create a business, and I'm going to try to, you know, make money this way. And you know, it's kind of that American dream, you know,
sure.
Go out, start your own business. And sometimes things don't work out. We have a bad economy, like, you know, it started in 2008 and 2009. I filed a lot of real estate related bankruptcies during that time frame, and it was, you know, title companies, real estate agents, just a bad time to be in that sort of business. So failed business is I would say another good one, and we talked about this earlier. I mean, if you're at the point where a creditor has gotten to has moved forward with some sort of legal action, a wage garnishment, a bank levy, a foreclosure action, you know, the repo guy is calling you up and saying you're 4 months behind on the car. I want to repossess it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to assess where you are and maybe bankruptcy.
And some of these creditor calls can be vicious, and they can say about anything. And we've warned about this in the past. You know, they cannot come and arrest you for not paying your credit card bill. So don't let a lot of these, you know, tactics scare you, right?
Yeah, we don't have debtors' prisons like England did in the 1800s, where they'd put people away for debts. So, no, nothing criminal at all. You know, if it is a secured debt against an asset, they can take that asset.
Sure.
But they have to go through a legal process to do it. And, you know, most lenders, most creditors actually don't want to go through that process. They mm-hmm. just want to get paid somehow. And so they'll do and say whatever it takes to get that money. When you file bankruptcy, all of that stops. They can't contact you any longer. It's that automatic stay protection that you get, and it's pretty powerful because they can be on the verge of foreclosing on a home, and you file the day before that happens, and the whole process stops.
Right. And I think another warning real quick to put out, and again, because of what we've been doing with consumer advocacy over the last 10 years or so, we've had people that have tried to work out final payments with credit cards, where let's say they owe them $3,000. They go, we'll take $1,000 and call it good. So they send them $1,000. There's nothing in writing that say that. So again, you got to be careful. And if you're going to do some kind of debt settlement, I would hire you to write up some type of agreement where it's a legal binding deal, right?
Yeah, debt settlement's a tricky place to be. There's a lot of companies out there that will promise everything under the sun in terms of being able to settle on your debts. A few different issues with that. Number one, they have to get all these creditors to agree on taking something less than what's owed. They may promise that debt settlement company may promise that to you, but how do you know that Citibank, your Target credit card, Discover card, you know, Visa, whoever it is, how do you know that they're going to agree to take that money? So, and you got to have the money available.
Sure.
And you're sending out thousands of dollars out the door to settle. And let's say you have six or seven big credit cards and you have 60,000 total, maybe 10,000 apiece. You got to have, you know, maybe $30,000-$40,000 just to settle that 60,000-70,000. So you got to have the cash. The other important thing to note on debt settlement is that bankruptcy will clear it out and there will be no tax ramifications from it. If you settle with a creditor, you very well will get a 1099 for income to you for the difference that you still owe the creditor. People don't realize that. So for example, you owe $10,000 on a credit card. They agree to accept $3,000 in settlement. So it feels like you got a $7,000 deal there. Well, then they'll send you a 1099 for $7,000 of income to you that you never even earned. So you got to report that to the IRS, and all of a sudden now you got significant tax liabilities if you've done that a few times. So debt settlement's a really tricky area, and you got to be careful. I have done a significant amount of that. It depends on the circumstances.
Sure.
It depends on, you know, do you have the cash to do it? Are we ready for a tax liability potentially? Mm-hmm. And we got to deal with that come next tax year. And you know, some of these debt settlement cases I've taken on, you know, I've stretched out over a year or two just because of the tax issues.
Sure. And that's what this free consultation is all about, because you got to figure out, even if you have the money to do that, but let's say that wipes you out, are you better off then filing bankruptcy, getting a fresh start? You know, you get it arranged where, hey, keep your house, hopefully keep your car. And I want to talk about that next, but because I think those are the most two things people want to make sure they keep, his house and a car. But then you get a fresh start.
Yeah, and I
mean, it's just a great new beginning.
It is a great new beginning, and I think with the debt settlement, what I see is a lot of people trying it on their own, mm-hmm. and they'll liquidate retirement accounts to do it. And I wouldn't say it drives me crazy, but it hurts when I see it, because that's hard-earned money that they've saved up over a long period of time, and they've all of a sudden taken out, you know, $30,000-$40,000 to try to settle with creditors. And not only are they going to get hit with a tax liability potentially on the debt settlement that we just talked about, but of course, taking that retirement money out early, all of a sudden they get hit with a 10% penalty, and that's taxable income to them. Then they come to me a year later and say, I owe $25,000 to the IRS because I did all of this, and I cut my retirement account in half. And I said, you know, I know that maybe you didn't want to file bankruptcy, but at least you should have come to me first or another reputable bankruptcy attorney to at least sit down and take a look and see if that was a viable option and get that information. You might not have done it if you knew all of these tax ramifications of doing it.
Right. So real quick before our break, as I mentioned, the house and the car are things that people really want to keep. In most cases, I would say you're able to keep those two items in most cases.
Yeah, and that goes back to the Colorado exemptions, property exemptions that are available if you file in the state of Colorado. You get $75,000 per person, so if you own it jointly, $150,000 for the homestead equity exemption. It's $7,500 of net equity in a vehicle, and so people understand that, you know, if you owe, or if you have a car that's worth $20,000 and you owe $15,000 on it, so there's a $5,000 net equity there, you would be able to slide that under the $7,500 exemption and protect that asset. Retirement accounts, as I mentioned earlier, are almost completely exempt all the way up, so you can protect those assets. And then there's household goods and furnishings, you know, $3,000. Jewelry exemptions, $2,500. Clothing exemptions, $2,000. And sometimes people ask me, well, I don't know what my stuff's worth. Like, you know, with that said, we're talking rummage sale value.
I started to say, the value that you put on it then,
yeah,
it's not like what you paid for it.
Absolutely not. And to be honest with you, you know, the court-appointed trustee.
Who's they don't want your sofa. Right?
They don't want your sofa. They don't want your bed. They don't want your old TV. Right. They're more interested in bigger assets.
Right.
Now, it's not to say that they're not going to be interested in you in if you had, you know, a $4,000 boat that you wanted to keep. There is no exemption for that, which means that is an asset that they could liquidate. Trustee doesn't want that boat either. They probably want some sort of cash equivalent.
I started to say, so is there a way, you know, I think the term, like reaffirming the debt where you can keep it?
Maybe? Well, that would be with the secured creditors
if
you wanted to, and probably not going to be able to reaffirm a boat loan in bankruptcy. The idea being is hey, you're in here for a fresh start. That's going to be considered a toy by the bankruptcy judges. But car loans and mortgages, absolutely. If you want to keep those items and you have secured debt against that collateral, you would reaffirm it and continue to make payments on it. And then it, in a way, passes through the bankruptcy. I want to make one point about that, too, though, is, and if Kurt was here, he'd probably chime in, with a mortgage loan, the lenders really have two ways to collect. They secure it against the house, and they have you sign a promissory note. So the security interest essentially will survive the bankruptcy. They can always, you know, they can go back, they can get that. Even though you're going through the process, they can go in and foreclose on that house and take the house back. In terms of that promissory note, you can get a discharge for that and not have to worry about that personally anymore. But you may want to reaffirm that debt because you're saying, hey, I want to keep my house. So I'm going to reaffirm that, and you know that is a process that we'll look at. Sometimes, you know, clients and I can disagree on what I think is in their best interest. A car loan, for example, might be awful terms. You know, 14% car loan on a depreciating asset. They owe $10,000 more than what the car is worth, and it's still losing value.
Right.
And they think it's, you know, the Statue of Mary, it's something they have to have. You know, they can't lose it. And I might say, this is an awful loan, and it might make sense to just give it back, get a discharge. So we'll have those discussions.
Right.
We'll take a look at budget to see if they can continue to make the payment on the car loan. And that's part of that consultation, and those are part of the discussions that we have as we go forward with the process.
Right. 303-488-3331 is the number for your free consultation with Jason Foster. Once again, his website, jasonfosterlaw.com. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit, you know, what about after bankruptcy? What does life look like then, just a little bit? And you mentioned a trustee. Who is that? What is their role in all of this? So we'll talk about that and more on Haystack Help Radio.
Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is proud of their 45 years of HVAC service to Littleton, Highlands Ranch, and Denver metro area. Littleton Heating and Air Conditioning is your Lennox and Carrier expert heating and air conditioning contractor. They are proud to offer the finest heating, air conditioning, and indoor air quality products with prompt and professional customer service and satisfaction. Call today and mention Haystack Help Radio and save $25 off any repairs or $100 off your furnace installation. Call 303-798-3880. That's 303-798-3880 for your appointment today. Littleton Heating and Air, A-plus members of the Better Business Bureau and official Haystack Help registered company.
I was in a car accident and I was hurt. Bad. My life was instantly turned upside down. I can't work. My insurance company is not treating me like family, like the commercial said they would. My car was totaled. I had some savings, but all of that is gone now. And on top of all of this, the person who hit me didn't have insurance at all. I don't know what to do.
After you've been in an accident, call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law. He will answer all of your questions. Kevin Flesh will help you to determine if you're entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. And he has the experience and the knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. Call Kevin Flesh of Flesh Law at 303-806-8886 to find out how he can help you get the compensation that you deserve. That's Kevin Flesh, 303-806-8886. Call now to get your life turned back around.
Ladies, I know you're tired of walking into the local gun store and seeing the same old thing. So let me tell you about Rampart Firearms. Just a quarter mile up Highway 67 off of Santa Fe and Sedalia, you will find a great selection of guns, ammo, tactical, and personal defense weapons. And if you or your spouse love to hunt, Rampart Firearms is a great stop for all of your hunting needs. Shotguns, rifles, pistols, anything from predator hunting to your next big game trip. Head to Rampart Firearms at the foot of the Rockies. Open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And you will only pay a 4% tax on your purchase. RampartFirearms.com, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050.
Don't fall for gimmick ads when choosing your insurance coverage. Group Insurance Analyst has been Colorado's insurance superstore since 1984, where customers can compare and shop for all of their insurance needs. At GIA Insurance, their brokers have no allegiance to any particular health, auto, or home insurance company. Take advantage of their experience, expertise, and exceptional client service. For your free quote, call today at 303-423-0162. That's 303-423-0162. Visit their website, e-gia.com, or stop by their office at 44th and Garrison Street in Wheat Ridge. Group Insurance Analyst is an official Haystack Help registered company.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500 is the number for Kurt and his crew over there, and they can help you out with any kind of mortgage you may need. If you're looking just to buy a new home, you're looking for a reverse mortgage, whatever, they can help you. 720-895-0500, aimortgage.net is their website. Glad to have in studio today Jason Foster, and Jason is with Foster Law Office. His website is jasonfosterlaw.com. And if you're just turning on your radio, getting in the car, or visiting online with us, he has offered a free consultation for our listeners, 303-488-3331, 303-488-3331. And just because you do the free consultation does not mean you're filing bankruptcy. It means it's a consultation, just a visit. Let Jason take a look at your circumstances. And, again, you know, there's no shame in this. And I really want to get this across to listeners. While all of us hope to be able to pay our bills the rest of our life and not be in this situation, most of the time it's just something that's happened. As we mentioned earlier, job loss, medical bills, different things like that. But don't just become a slave, so to speak, to your debts, and where you can't enjoy life. You can't go out to dinner once in a while, whatever the case may be. Can't go on a vacation. You may need that fresh start that Jason can offer you. And again, he will sit down, explain all the different options. And I mean, probably legally and just morally, you hopefully just do what, tell the client what's best for them to do. I mean, if it was a relative of yours.
Yes, I have a fiduciary duty to my clients to do what's in their best interest or advise them that way. A lot of industries don't have that, mm-hmm. and you know, it's incredibly important to me in terms of what I do. I've also noticed over the years that if I'm upfront and frank and honest in terms of what I think the best solutions are, sometimes they might not file. But they may come back to me because they've also gone out and visited with two or three different attorneys, and they're trying to push them to file and say, file, file, file. I leave it up to the client. I just want to educate them and inform them what their options are, and then they can make that decision going forward.
Right. Now, you mentioned a trustee. So let's talk about maybe what it looks like the day that you go to court. Sometimes creditors show up, most of the time not. If you have to get into big deals, like you mentioned, real estate, different things, there may be somebody there. Most of the time, it's just you and the hearing officer, right?
That's correct. So when you file bankruptcy, whether it's a Chapter 7 or a Chapter 13, there will be a court-appointed trustee that will administer the case. And their real job is to take a look at everything and ask you questions at the hearing to make sure that you know, all your paperwork is truthful, accurate, to the best of your knowledge, that it's been filled out correctly. And, you know, depending on whether it's the 7 or 13 trustees have different roles then. You know, during that hearing in a Chapter 7, they're really looking at assets. Right. They want to know what you own. They want to know, you know, for the fair market value of these assets, you know, for what we, how we came to that fair market value. They're going to ask us how, you know, how did you value your house? How did you value your car? You know, you have an engagement ring. You know, how did you come to that value? So we'll go through some of those questions. I prep my clients for all those questions. And to be quite honest, going into that hearing, I know exactly where the trustee is going to go with the questions. If I believe it's going to be a no asset case, which means that all the property is protected under the Colorado exemption statutes, I will go and prepare my clients for the basic questions that they're going to get. If I think the trustee, we mentioned a boat earlier, if you know a client has a boat and I don't have an exemption for it, they're going to ask about that boat. They're going to ask how we valued it. They're going to ask where it is. Is it in good condition? They're going to ask if we want to keep it. And if we want to keep it, you know, maybe make the trustee an offer. So a Chapter 7 trustee is going to be all about the assets. Chapter 13 trustee, they're going to be more about the budget and what the payment plan might look like. So they might ask, you know, outside of your regular payments, they might ask about, you know, why your medical bills are so high. Not that they are going to, you know, force you to take money away from, you know, paying for prescription drugs or whatever sure. It is. But they want to, you know, can you just give us receipts for those $300 a month that you pay for that, et cetera. And the reason for that is they're trying to maximize the amount of money that goes out to these unsecured creditors. Right. And that's kind of their job. They're kind of the gatekeeper for that payment. So trustees have different functions depending on the chapter. And another important thing to note on the trustee is, although they are typically an attorney, if you know if they're not an attorney, they'll have an attorney in their office. They're not your advocate. They're really on the other side, mm-hmm. trying to maximize things, either assets or payment plans for the creditors. So it's important that you have good counsel there yep. on your side, helping you out.
And then the next important thing is to listen and do what you tell them to do, because I'm sure you've had to sit there sometimes. Tell somebody exactly what's going on, and then all of a sudden they get on and just can't stop talking.
Bankruptcy is not a place to hide assets. It's not a place to, you know, try to pull one over on the trustee. Remember, these are attorneys, most of them, and, you know, their job is to oversee the process. You may never go in front of a judge, but you have to be truthful and you have to respect the process. I prepare you for that. We go over the questions ahead of time that they're going to ask you. You know, but that's part of the process. That's part of, you know, you coming into an attorney that has been there before that can guide you through the process, make sure that you're listing everything. And there can be some planning before we even file the case.
Sure.
Completely legal. You know, we're not going to be hiding anything or doing anything the wrong way. But we can do some planning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'll just give you one example of that. You know, a lot of times I find clients that are expecting to receive tax refunds. They might get $3,000 or $4,000. It's one of the questions I'll ask them, you know, what did you get last year for a tax refund, and are you expecting about the same amount? That really isn't a non-exempt asset once you hit January. You haven't received it yet, but you're going to be expecting to file taxes and receive that. We may want to wait until after you receive that tax refund, because you might be a month or two behind on your mortgage payment or your car payment, and that would be a good place to put that money, mm-hmm. and that's good planning prior to filing bankruptcy. Trustee might ask you, what'd you do with that tax refund when you got it? And if you just tell them the truth, well, I just caught up on my mortgage, or I paid, you know, I made a payment on my car loan, and I had to pay this month's daycare bill.
Right.
So there's good planning that can be done prior to filing, and I would prepare you as well for that question the trustee will ask you in terms of what happened to that.
Right.
But there's other things not to do as well, and I think we'll get into those.
Let's do that right after we come back from this break. And again, the number for the free consultation, 303-488-3331, 303-488-3331. This is Haystack Help Radio.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I love about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. At Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention. For over 50 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. Stack Optical also has a beautiful new location at 2233 South Monaco Parkway in Denver. Free and easy up-close parking. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack Optical has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Your eyes and vision are one of the most important things in life. I'm confident at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. That's 303-321-1578, stackoptical.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
We are back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. Jason Foster in studio. Jason's an attorney. Talking about bankruptcy today. And again, we've got a few more minutes left. If you've got a question, we'll take your call at 303-477-5600. JasonFosterLaw.com is his website. He also handles estate planning, which hopefully we can get Jason back to talk about that subject as well. A lot of things we all need to know there. But the number for the free consultation, 303-488-3331, 303-488-3331. And before the break, we talked about there are some things not to do before you're thinking about filing. So, man, we got about 6-7 minutes here, so we're going to try to hit as much as we can.
Yeah, sure. There's a number of things that you shouldn't do. And if you're thinking about doing them, come and talk to me or another attorney, and I'm sure that they will tell you not to do it. You know, the biggest thing that I see is when they've done some research on their own, or maybe they've even gone and talked to a bankruptcy attorney, and the bankruptcy attorney or, you know, the research they find, they say, you know what, you're going to lose this asset, or you're going to lose this amount in property if you file a Chapter 7. Again, you can protect that potentially by filing a 13, but you're in a payment plan for usually 3 to 5 years. So they leave those consultations, or after they've done their own research, and like, well, you know, I'm going to go back to the boat example. I got this $4,000 or $5,000 boat. I don't want to lose it. I'm drowning in debt. I want to keep it in the family, so I'm just going to go ahead and transfer that to my son or my daughter. And then I'll file down the road. Well, you know, the bankruptcy estate, when you file, consists of assets that you own and then assets that you should have owned when you filed. And when I say should have owned, that would be considered, if you did that transfer to your son or daughter, a fraudulent transfer. And a number of things are going to happen if you decide to conceal that or not. You're not truthful about that at the hearing, because I can guarantee you that the trustee is going to find it. If you're filing through my office, I probably say you can't file because you're dealing with fraudulent transfer, which has all kinds of repercussions.
Sure. Now, real quick, how far do they usually look back?
It depends on the type of transfer. You know, if you sold it to somebody that's not related to you, and you got cash for it, and it was you got fair market value for it. it's going to be looked at, it's scrutinized back 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're giving that asset away and not getting anything in return, that's when it becomes a problem. And then the other problem is if you're transferring it to a loved one or a friend or family member, somebody close to you.
Gotcha.
Those are going to be scrutinized. And obviously, if you're just transferring it for a dollar or whatever it might be, that's going to be a huge problem. And just briefly on this, I mean, it's a huge, can be a huge issue in your bankruptcy filing. Not only would you potentially lose your discharge, you're probably going to lose the asset, and you could be investigated for bankruptcy fraud. So it's really important to be truthful and honest, and that's part of the deal when you file bankruptcy. You want a big discharge for all of this debt, and you want to do it the right way. Then, you know, there could be something you lose. There could be money that goes out to these creditors during the liquidation process. So transferring assets prior to filing is a big issue. If you're thinking about doing it, don't do it. Just get a consultation first before you do anything. And along those same lines is preference payments that go out to loved ones. And the example I see the most is a client comes in and says, I owed my dad $10,000, but I wanted to pay him off because I don't want him to know about my bankruptcy filing. And I understand we have to send notice to all creditors, and he would be a creditor of mine. Well, you can see why that's not fair, mm-hmm. or why the court would deem that you can't do that. Because you just preferred your dad over all these other creditors, and they're the same class of creditor, and you can't do that. And so not only is the trustee going to go after that money, they're going to call your dad up and say, by the way, I'm the bankruptcy trustee. Your son filed, and I want that $10,000. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to go after you, and I'm going to sue you to bring that money back into the estate. So
you can always pay any – correct me if I'm wrong – you can always pay any – personal debt back after the bankruptcy,
you
right?
Absolutely can.
Yeah. So that's you can go to people and go, look, I know I owe you this. I got to list you on this.
Yep.
But I'm going to pay you back after. I just can't do it now.
And that's the tough conversation that they don't want to have. Yep. And so they do that. And you know what? I don't sense that they're being dishonest. Mm-hmm. They just don't want other people to know that they're filing. So they go and do this, and it becomes a headache. And you know, they're going to find out anyway. Overused credit. On the eve of filing bankruptcy, you know, they're worried about their credit score. They're not going to be able to have credit afterwards. So what do? They go out and, you know, get that new oven that they needed because theirs is breaking down. They go out and get a new lawnmower because theirs, you know, they're afraid they're not going to be able to use that credit afterwards. That can be a problem. Those credit cards are going to take a look at your history, your most recent history, and see if you've been racking up a large amount on their particular card. And they may come after you in bankruptcy for their particular debt, saying, hey, this isn't fair. He knew or she knew that they were going to file, and then they went out and, you know, they used our credit card, and now they're trying to discharge it all. So you can see why that's unfair.
Right.
You know, waiting too long to file, I think we talked about that. And we talked about debt settlement companies and you know, getting involved with that. If you're considering that, and there's a lot of companies out there, and they're advertising.
I'm telling you, there are so many scams out there, and I mean, we've warned people about that for years, because usually they want a lot of upfront money. And you got to understand, just because even we've seen this in some of the ones that do, you know, fixing your credit, so to speak, it can come off, but I'm telling you, they'll put it right back on, or they sell those debts. Go back to your example earlier where they do the $10,000 deal, you settle for three, some other company buys it down the road, tax on all their interest, and you're back $10,000 or $15,000 you owe, and those people that you did all that with don't work there anymore, and you've got nothing in writing, which is why I said go through someone like you.
Yep.
So, man, just to sit down with you for a free consultation, it can't hurt. It's not going to cost you anything to sit down and at least discuss it.
And I would let you know whether debt settlement, and because I've done it, makes a lot of sense for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, you know, I guess I couldn't guarantee it because I don't know what we're dealing with. But in the vast majority of cases when I do debt settlement, I'm actually way cheaper than what they're going to charge you at the end of the day to do it. And, you know, again, I have a fiduciary duty to do what's in your best interest, and I'll do that. Because we'll have gone through whether bankruptcy makes sense, you know, whether debt settlement makes sense. We can go through these options, and I can explain it to you. We can talk about the tax ramifications, et cetera. So before you sign up for any of those things and dish out thousands of dollars, that's just another thing that I would caution you on doing it. And before you do it, at least, you know, go to a reputable bankruptcy attorney to take a look at your situation.
Right. Well, man, this has been a lot of great information. Hopefully we can get you back and go through some more things and talk about estate planning soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Scott.
All right. That's Jason Foster. Again, jasonfosterlaw.com. Free consultation. Look, it's never too early just to sit and call. You may not need to file bankruptcy. Maybe he can help you with your budget a little bit. And again, he's not a counselor with credit, but I mean, he'll help you out, at least give you some advice to think about. And if there is some pre-planning process we need to do, Jason will help you. 303-488-3331. 303-488-3331. JasonFosterLaw.com. Thank you for being with us today for Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, your one-stop shop for all your mortgage needs, 720-895-0500. Hope everyone has a great day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.